to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, and mother of two. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or somehow all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, parenting, relationships, and sex. And the devastatingly handsome Todd Anderson is here with me today.
That's a nice intro.
That's a nice one, and it makes me so happy. Yay! That's there for Todd. So we get to talk about a variety of stuff today
because
it's
like
one of them follow-up show kind of things.
Oh,
so,
sweet.
Okay. Yes. So Todd wanted to follow up with me about something
kind
of major that happened in my life. So he's going to interview me for a minute.
So, yeah. So I saw some pictures on Facebook.
Jizz.
That you were in a triathlon.
Yes, that was me.
Triathlon being...
swim, bike,
running,
run.
Swim first. Then biking.
Then bike, then run.
Then running. So
yes.
My question.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
Are you insane?
A little bit. This was crazy.
Why?
Okay.
Why would you do this to yourself?
Well, okay, that's a good question. My daughter did this last year, right? Mm-hmm. She was 14 at the time, and I was super impressed because she finished it. She like handled the whole thing on her own, and you know, she's on swim team though, so... it made sense to me that she could do it, but you know, she never really bikes and never really runs, but she finished this thing. She did it like an hour and 8 minutes or something. It was really cool. But I was also secretly a little bit jealous, you know, and I was like watching people finish at the finish line. I was like, I wonder if I could ever do this, you know, but I just don't think of myself that way. You know, and then kind of looking at the swim in the ocean, that was like freaky too, you know. I'm less scared of the ocean now because I'm a scuba diver, but like swimming in the waves,
sure.
You know. Everybody talks about the sharks. I'm really not scared of the sharks. I figure that's one in a million.
You're scared of the
riptide? I'm scared of the drowning.
Yeah.
That's what I'm scared of. It's the not breathing, right, you know. And holy shit, like rightly so. I mean, I got in the water with my wetsuit. I had like a triathlon wetsuit.
Where were you swimming in the water?
In the ocean in Santa Barbara.
In Santa Barbara.
Yeah, and within like 50 yards, I started hyperventilating. I mean, just really.
Because of panic?
I don't know. I don't know if it was the cold. I don't know if it was the tight of the wetsuit. I don't know if it was. I mean, I could not control my breathing. And so I get about probably about 100 yards into it, and I just flip over on my back.
Uh-huh.
And I just start praying.
You were just backstroking the rest of the
way? I was like kicking and then like doing like snow angels, you know?
Oh,
just
okay,
like
sure.
I did that. I mean, I did that the whole way. And at one point I tried flipping over and the other buoy was just still so far away. I just thought, I'm going to freaking die
so
out here.
It helped you psychologically not to be looking at the...
it helped me to be able to breathe. I couldn't slow down my breathing. I spent most of the time in the swim trying to talk myself off the ledge.
Uh-huh.
Like I really was just like... you know, so when I was on my back, I could kind of just keep kicking and I'm looking at the sky and I'm like, it's just a beautiful day for a swim, you know, like really trying to just calm myself down.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the second buoy and I got to start swimming in, I tried to freestyle and I couldn't breathe right. You know, I just couldn't.
I don't know how people do the freestyle or the crawl
right, with the
stroke
swimming,
for
yeah.
long periods of time because I don't like having my face in the water that.
There's everything about it is awful.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
it's not
because as soon as I would calm down, like a big wave of fucking salt water would end up in my mouth and I'm like, you know, it was just horrible. I'm just going to say it was horrible. And the only way that you can train for the ocean is to swim in the ocean.
Swim in the ocean.
Like, really,
sure.
There's that. I mean, I did like, you know, 1,000 laps in the pool or whatever. No. Didn't do me. Well, I guess it did do me some good because I, you know, was able to finish. My legs were conditioned, so I was able to actually, I got out of the water in like 18 minutes. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then the bike was.
What's the average swim time on that?
Well, my daughter did it in like 9 or 10 minutes, you know.
What a dick.
She's such a badass. I mean, she took 4 minutes off her time. She finished in an hour and 4 minutes this year and didn't really train. She didn't train. She was just like, whatever, I'll show up. I'm going to do it. So I did the bike, and the bike was not as flat as they said it was going to be. So...
you mean it was like a hilly course?
Yeah, there were moments where I was like, my quads are really kind of mad at me right now. But I did train for this for 4 or 5 weeks. And there were moments, here's the important takeaway here. There were moments that I thought, well, this isn't such a big deal. You know, like, what big deal? But it wasn't a big deal because I trained for it. Because I allowed myself to even think that I could do it.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I got ready for it and, you know, I really prepped my calves. I mean, like every single day doing, you know, calf exercises and things, because when you bike and then you run, it hurts. I mean, it's, you really, like if you get off a bike and you try to walk, run, and you're not
because your
used
muscle,
to that. You're using
muscles
different
are,
muscles. Yeah. It kind of hurts. So, so by the time I got to the run, my calves were just on fire. They were burning. They didn't feel like they were gonna, you know, snap or something, but
right.
they were on fire. So, but it was on kind of a public path, you know, this mile out, mile back. It was just a 2 mile thing. My daughter showed up and she had her little phone and she was like playing my favorite song. It was so cute. And then
she was just running next to you playing the song?
Yeah. It was really cute. Yeah. Because she had finished a while earlier. She was,
Oh, that's great.
It was really cute. She's like, go, mama. So, so I sprinted to the finish and I felt triumphant.
Yay.
Yeah. So it was, it was pretty cool. It was, I feel good about it. I'm glad I did it. I think I'd like to do it next year. I will be swimming in the ocean more though to prep.
To prep. Yeah. So you can get used to it so you don't have the panic.
Yeah. I mean, that was no serious panic. I mean, I don't ever want to go back to that place. That was awful.
I get it. Well, I've been swimming in the ocean, just casually swimming in the ocean and felt panic.
Yeah.
Because when, like, if the tide suddenly shifts and, you know, there's more of a pull one way or the other, it's really freaky feeling. I don't like it.
No. And my daughter said she had these goggles on where she could kind of see what was under the water and, like, the green stuff on the buoys and stuff was freaking her out. And I'm like, I didn't even care about what was in the water. I just didn't want to die.
Right.
I literally was just going, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay.
Oh my God, that sounds horrible.
It was horrible. And at one point I looked at my watch. I had, you know, a little waterproof watch. So I was so glad because I was like, well, you've really only been in the water about 9 minutes. Like this feels like it's been going on forever.
Right.
But it's really only been 9 minutes. Like it's going to end.
Time
you know,
time is all relative.
Oh my God.
It's all relative.
Felt like forever.
I myself can state with almost complete confidence that I will never, ever be in a triathlon.
You want to do it next year?
No, I don't want to do it.
Oh, come on, Mark's going to do it.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to jump out of a plane either. There's certain things
fair enough.
Just
okay.
not
going to
do.
That's okay. All
right. Yeah. And I know people who just jumped out of a plane. All these people I know are doing these crazy things that
I know lots of people who've jumped out of a plane.
Yeah, why are people jumping out of planes?
Why are they jumping out of perfectly good planes? I don't know why. It's
the plane will land. Just wait.
Just wait. Why are you so impatient? My sister's done that. I know people who've done that, you know, for big birthdays and stuff. I got to wait until my kids are, like, way grown.
Before you jump out of a plane?
Yeah, I'll jump out of a plane when I'm, like, 80.
You're going to do it. Oh, yeah. Well, people do that. Like,
yeah,
bucket
like,
list.
Well, yeah.
Plane jumps.
You know, like if I don't make it, whatever. You know, I had a good time. You know, but if I ever jump out of a plane now and die that way, I'd feel like a real idiot. I'd be on the other side just going like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, that's done. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that would suck. So I'm not doing that right now. Okay. Yeah. But I'll do it at some point.
Okay.
So, you know. So do you want to help with a couple questions? Oh, and thank you for asking me about my triathlon.
Of course, I'm impressed and congratulations.
Thank you. I feel kind of excited.
I'm proud of you, and you should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
I'm blushing.
And when I say I'm not going to do it, I don't mean that disparagingly. It's just like
no,
I understand. Terrifying to me and exhausting and sounds
Yeah,
like
if
too
the first
much.
Part was like a swim in the pool, I do them all the time. And I know they do have pool ones, but anyway, whatever. Enough about me. So let's talk about the people out there. After the divorce episode, I got a question about this divorce process thing, you know, because I'm always talking about trying to be amicable with your ex and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. Which I know is difficult. I'm not saying that happens like without really having to suck it up a lot, you know,
mm-hmm.
at times. But this person, you know, what if your ex is really, really difficult? Mine plays games with me all the time. He refuses to drop off baseball gear on some days. Sometimes doesn't take the kids on his custodial time. I spend my life worrying about what he is going to do. Right. So this is a person who's really in kind of a powerless situation because her ex is just really non-cooperative.
Right.
Right. And you don't have control over that. You cannot control whether or not they are going to be cooperative. The only thing that you can control
mm-hmm.
is your level of victimization.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And how you let it affect you.
Sure.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, there is nobody policing divorce agreements. You know what I mean?
No.
There's not like anybody there saying. So your options are really You have to be resourceful, and you have to sort of get out of the story of, you know, feeding off the fact that, you know, he's such an asshole and you're victimized, and telling your friends, and, you know, kind of, we do get some identity around that. We get a little bit addicted to that, you know, mm-hmm. that piece of like, see, isn't he such a jerk and blah, blah, blah. If you can let go of that piece and you go, okay, how can I make it so that I don't have to wait around for him for the sports equipment when I know he's just fucking with me? Right.
Right.
You have to, you can talk to the coach. You can say, how can I borrow another set of equipment? Can I get some at a discount? Can I go find some used stuff? Can I, you know, buy another set? Right. So when he's sitting there going, I've got the sports equipment, you're just like, yeah, whatever, taking the kid to the practice. Bye.
Bye.
You know, like, and it's really amazing what happens when you stop engaging. Right. Mm-hmm. They can't do the dance alone.
Right.
Right. You know, so if the more that you can become independent, and I know, like, you might think that you're entitled to these things and that, you know, and maybe you are legally, like, support and custodial time and all of these things. But again, nobody's policing it and you're the only one that has to live through it.
Right.
Right. So there comes this point of acceptance that you just have to sort of design your life the way that it works for you.
Right.
And if he's not taking his custodial time, you need to just start writing it down. You need to keep a calendar and you need to file. You just need to do it, because that is your only, you can't negotiate with a terrorist, right?
No.
You just can't. There's no negotiating. No. You can try, and, you know, maybe sometimes that'll work, but they will screw you on the most important weekend, you know, the one that you really needed them to take the kids. That's right. The one that they're going to be like, oh, sorry, I'm not available. So if you can keep track of these things, and you, because then you have to apply for a change with the court.
Right.
And this is your only actual tangible recourse.
Right.
Okay. Is to actually serve them with a change notice. You're not taking your custodial time. You're going to pay more child support, or you're going to take your custodial time and you're going to arrange for a babysitter.
Right.
And there's no discussing it. There's right. no debating. You don't get on the phone. You don't do this stuff. Right.
Right.
You just leave it to the professionals, and it will take time and it'll be a pain in your ass. But I'm telling you, the more that you stop engaging with people like this, they lose their power.
Yeah. You have to take your power back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the only thing that changes it. So you have to use, you know, you just have to use the system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To do the speaking for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, unfortunately. And you have to get more and more independent of this person. You just have to.
Yeah.
You got to be resourceful, you know, but buy the extra pair of tennis shoes, buy the extra sports equipment, you know, whatever it is. Like, oh, they don't want to pay for guitar lessons. Fucking just pay for it yourself if you can.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain point at which you can't be constantly putting your life on hold. That's why you divorced him.
Right.
Right.
Right. You know? And you're still dealing with the same problems, still, even though you're divorced.
You might as well still be married, because you're doing the same dance, right? It's just so brutal. And like, you want to be able to move forward from this.
Yeah.
And you just have to own the fact that you married an asshole.
Yeah.
And that divorcing an asshole is tough.
Is as hard as being married to one.
Yeah. It's... And there's loss, you know, there's loss of money, and it's rarely fair, and it's really, you know, it's messed up. But you can get your life back if you claim it, you know.
Right.
If you just say, like, I'm gonna own the fact that I did that, and whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just gonna make my life work regardless of whatever the hell he's doing. So unfortunately, that's not probably the answer you wanted to hear, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the thing about the truth. Sometimes it sucks.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
It's not really a follow-up question, but sorry. I just realized I had a question for you.
Talk to me.
Did you hear about the whole Chrissy Hynde thing?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So Chrissy Hynde, in an interview, basically took responsibility for her own rape when she was younger, saying, I shouldn't have been dressed that way and I shouldn't have been fucked up. This is on me. And then basically in the interview said, I mean, it's not like that's a controversial statement. It's just logic. She said that in an interview. And then the internet just descended on her.
Yeah,
the internet
up.
Police just like, fuck you. You're that's victim. And, you know, it's
victim blaming,
it's
blah, blah,
victim
blah.
Blaming, blah, blah, blah. As opposed to like a more sensitive reaction would be like, she still hasn't worked through this.
Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you can.
And it's not your fault.
Right.
Like,
nobody has the right to exploit you.
Right. As opposed to the internet police saying, you know, you're making everything worse and promoting rape culture and all that. Like when I read all that, I was like, God damn it. I mean, it's like she's wrong.
Damn humanity.
Yeah. She's wrong, but she's wrong without realizing that she's wrong because
like
she hasn't
sad
worked
that
through
she's
it.
Wrong. Like, shush.
And be more sensitive about it as opposed to attacking her for saying that. So I wondered what you thought of that. That's why I brought it up.
Well, it, you know, like you said, it makes me sad. It makes me, it makes me sad that, like you said, people sort of victimized her for being
a victim,
and still being victimized when you even hear her reasoning, right? Like
right.
She's still in that space, people. And, you know, it's a really, how do I say this without pissing off the internet?
It's hard.
I think on some level, okay, she took that experience, right, and said, I'm not going to be, you know, fucked up and
I'm not going to put myself
in a situation where I could be victimized. You know, when you, I'm not saying that this makes you, that you deserve to be victimized, but that when we do get really drunk, we are more vulnerable.
Sure.
You know, we are more vulnerable. Okay.
Yes.
There is a lesson there, right? I mean,
yeah.
And these are lessons that you teach your daughters. I'm not saying if you get drunk at a party, you deserve to be raped. I'm saying, hey, maybe you don't want to get drunk at a party,
right?
Because then you can't take care of yourself. You're
right.
Not as aware of your surroundings. You don't know where your friends are. You can't drive home. There's, you know, these are things that can put you in a vulnerable situation. That doesn't mean anybody has the right to victimize you.
Right.
Right. So yeah, it is a shame that the internet responded that way.
Right.
You know, the internet as a.
And I think that's such a good dicey point too that you're making.
It's
like so hard
to say
that because I totally agree. Of course I agree that like nobody.
It's like it's not her fault.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course not. But and it's not a fault thing. But there is such a thing as safety and being smart and being careful. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
just
if
you're walking down a dark alley, that doesn't mean somebody has the right to rob
you. But if you say that now
on
the internet,
then you're in trouble.
If you say that, then you're automatically labeled, I don't know what you call it, a rape culturalist.
I guess that you're sort of supporting.
A misogynist or a slut shamer or whatever.
Yeah, or saying that men don't have any control over what they do or, whatever. I mean, no, it is, and yet... I mean, I've been telling my kids since they were really young, like, watch your drink.
Yeah, be careful. Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesus.
I mean.
There
are bad people out there.
Yeah, and it's not condoning it on any level by saying, hey, you know, play it safe. And I think women should be able to dress however they want to dress without getting attacked by people. But the truth is if you dress a certain way and you go into the wrong place, then that could happen. You know what I mean? It's just like about being like, if I think you should dress that way, just, you know,
and be able to and be safe doing it.
Right. Right.
Unfortunately,
absolutely.
There are some shitty people in the world.
Yeah. There's psychotics.
So, but, you know, again, with the clothing, with the dressing, I mean, there's a lot of, I've read a lot about, rape victims who are the first thing somebody asks is what were you wearing?
Yeah, I know.
You know, and
that,
she's like, I was wearing fucking sweatpants.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because you're dealing with a criminal. You're dealing with a bad person.
Well, yeah, and real rapists aren't looking for.
But they don't give a shit if you have
a
short skirt on.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
I think actually the way you dress is more more enticing to people who wouldn't who are just like grabby and inconsiderate. You know what I mean? Like true. Honestly, like if you're dressed like that, somebody will just be really, really forward with you. I mean, they're not necessarily rapists, but they're like, you know, drunk dudes who think that like you want your ass grabbed because you're dressed because that way. Yeah. You know, like you're kind of, but again, that's all about environment and
I guess that's what I'm saying is know your environment. I'm just saying be safe.
I want you to be safe, and I wish that you could be safe no matter what you did.
Yeah. As a man, as a guy, I don't go into certain places and go down certain alleyways by myself.
Because you don't want to get robbed. Exactly. You don't want to get jumped or raped. Or beat up.
Or anything.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people beat people up for fun, too.
No, I've been mugged. So, I don't enjoy it.
Not good.
Yeah. So I avoid those situations.
No, I had one of my parents was left in a dumpster.
Oh, my God.
Mugged and left in a dumpster. You know, I mean, shit happens, people. So, it's a little heartbreaking to me that she would still sort of own that. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, that is a way of coping with it. It's sad that people then sort of say, well, now you're responsible for you know, everything
and
that you say
wording,
about your own experience.
It so much of it is wording, too, because she worded it as, this is my fault. I shouldn't have been doing any of those things, which is not true. It's not her fault. And that's why the internet descended upon her. But descending on her that way, I think, was the wrong thing to do, because she was saying it was my fault because clearly she hadn't figured out.
I would like to think that there were also some people who said, you know, Chrissy, I hope someday that you can really look at this and know that this wasn't your fault.
Yeah,
and just,
that's
you know,
true.
Feel that kind of love. You
no,
know,
though, there were those people.
I hope that there were some of those, some of the smaller voices that don't type in caps.
Right. Well, sadly, I think so. Smaller voices so often don't type anything.
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like if you have a show, most of the people who post on the internet are posting negative shit.
Yeah.
The people who like it don't.
Right.
They don't.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you know, when you get nice responses and people thanking you for doing stuff, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You're
all
amazing.
Whoa. Yeah.
So I'm going to just do one more question real quick and then we'll wrap it up. This is like kind of a simple answer. But this one mom sent, she said, it sounds mean, but my teen is lazy. I worry about her self-esteem. She comes home, does her homework, but then sits around watching TV or on her iPad. And if I tell her to go for a walk or exercise, she gets mad. You know, and I'm concerned about her body image and her weight and such like that. I'm just going to say this. It is absolutely okay to require physical activity.
Yep.
Okay, because this is something that they take into their adulthood. We live in a very sedentary world. Everything is automated. We drive a lot. We don't walk anywhere.
Right.
You know, it is okay to require your child to do a physical activity that doesn't make you a bad person.
Right.
It doesn't have to be about their weight. Okay,
right.
There are a lot of benefits to exercise that you can talk to them about, including depression, you know, including like changing your brain chemistry and helping you feel happier, changing your serotonin levels, all of those things.
I will tell you right now, yesterday when I was hassling with this volunteer work for my kids' soccer league, and doing all this middle management stuff for free and data entry and communicating with people, it was making me so insane. Mm. The only way I could fix myself at that point was to exercise.
Yeah.
I just stopped everything
and just went and worked out, jumping
around.
And I can't even believe I'm this person, but I am actually addicted to exercise now. It's like weird.
Yeah.
So, I know it's kind of cool. Never thought it would happen. That's a whole other story.
It's not really an addiction, is it?
Well, I mean, if I miss a day, like if I take Sunday off, I'm already thinking about like, okay, so when am I going to work out tomorrow? And like, I know if I go 2 days, I'll start to kind of feel weird.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like kind of feel kind of off center and like I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know who I am anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I get it.
So, I went through this with my younger daughter, the baker. She was, not only did she kind of not want to exercise, but she wanted to bake and eat sugar. You know, so her sister was on swim team and she didn't really want to do swim team, but I was like, you're doing swim team because you got to do something. You know, she hadn't found her thing yet.
Sure.
You know, now she's an aerial artist. She dances. And so she's like, I mean, she's too many hours a week, you know, doing this stuff. And so, and she, once she found that, that became the thing that she loved to do. And I didn't have to bug her anymore. But for probably about a year and a half, I made her do swim team, and then I made her do swim team longer. I made her do that for like 8 or 9 months. Also made me feel better as a parent because I knew she'd be a good swimmer, mm-hmm. right? Made me feel more water safe. And now she's really enjoying the ocean because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to kind of toe the line of like, you need to be doing something physical. And particularly in grade school and middle school, middle schools have, most of them have a little more PE now. I think they're doing pretty well. They make these kids work pretty hard, but they have to be doing something physical. It doesn't have to be a team sport, but they got to get sweaty. They just do, because if they don't do that now and get used to how it feels,
mm-hmm.
then they're not going to do it as an adult
right.
without some sort of, you know, like you're concerned about trauma, self-esteem, weight gain, you know, something they really have to fight against. That's really difficult.
Right.
You know, cause
right. Yeah. It's, my kid, I mean, he's playing soccer now, but when he was younger, team sports did not appeal to mm-hmm. him. So I said, well, you don't have to play a team sport, but you got to do something.
You got to do something.
So martial arts maybe. Mm-hmm. And he tried that and he's, did it for a long
and
time.
He dug
and then
that,
he
yeah.
discovered soccer on the playground. I was like, I want to do soccer. So
yeah, you know, they'll find different things.
Yeah.
You know, they'll find different things. And you're doing your child a favor. You're doing them a disservice by not making them do something,
right.
honestly.
Right.
Because the world is just so set up to be sedentary.
Yeah.
Right. And it just affects everything about your health, your blood chemistry, mm-hmm. your brain chemistry.
Well, the other thing we do is, you know, because he's got an Xbox. And we have a Kinect, so
cool.
like you can do a half hour sedentary video games, or you can get an hour if you do Kinect.
Oh,
so he's more likely to do Kinect. And
nice.
I played this Star Wars game with him the other day.
The Kinect one?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
With where you're like jumping around and throwing your lightsaber around. God damn it! It's exhausting. It is.
What's your language talk?
So exhausting. I was so tired.
He's sweating.
Yeah, because you like, get into it.
Luke!
You're jumping, and you just, I mean, it must look so dumb to somebody right. who can't see what you're doing. Like, if they're, like, just looking through the window. I'm just doing, like, these spazzy jumps. But on the screen, you know, the Jedi's, like, flipping in the air and flying and, like,
right.
killing robots. And I'm just, like, flailing my arms and jumping around like a jackass.
Can you please set up, like, have somebody tape about 15 seconds of that? I'm gonna Instagram it.
All right.
And here's Todd flailing. Because we all want to see that.
Hey,
so.
Of course.
So, well, thank you. Thank you for joining me today and helping me answer questions.
Thanks for having me.
And where can we find you?
Watch
on
You're
the, small
the
screen.
Worst. You're the Worst on FXX on Wednesdays after the league.
After the league?
We're paired with the league now.
That's fucking
it's awesome. A good lead-in show,
oh my God.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable, and you can find my book, MILF 101, on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And if you are listening on SoundCloud or iTunes right now, if you could click subscribe, that would be cool. Click. And I'd like to thank the people at Sideshow Network.
Thanks, Sideshow.
Thank you, Sideshow. And I would like to thank all of you lovely people for listening. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
On Monday, Josh Leibarger made his status
Case of the Mondays,
followed by a frowny face. It got one like and five comments, including dislike. Well, Josh, Geico also wants to make a comment to turn that emoji's frown upside down. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. With all that extra dough, why not give Monday a makeover? We see an office party in your future, hosted by you. Hashtag happy face. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.